Every day I wake up with a single dream running through my head. To throw a little stone into a mighty stream and watch the ripples as they spread. If you want to make a ripple, if you want to make a wave, playing safe and thinking small doesn't move the ball at all. There's humanity to save. An excerpt from the song Ripple from the movie Spirited. Hi, I'm Ansi and welcome to my podcast For the Love of Group Fitness. I've been a multidisciplined group fitness instructor for over 30 years. I'm a trainer, and as well as having a yoga studio and a network marketing business, I help fit pros kickstart and build successful businesses. This podcast is about the crazy yet wonderfully addictive world of group fitness and what we as instructors do and don't do for the love of it. Welcome to another exciting episode of For the Love of Group Fitness podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing a true powerhouse in the world of health and fitness, Joanne Groves. With a fervent passion for promoting overall well-being, Joanne has spent her entire career empowering individuals and communities to prioritize their physical and mental health. With an impressive track record spanning over 26 years, Joanne has established herself as a renowned fitness expert and educator. Her dedication to raising the standard of the industry is evident in her relentless pursuit of challenging conventional thinking and inspiring others to do the same. Joanne's commitment to pushing boundaries has made her a prominent figure in the fitness community. Throughout her career, Joanne has witnessed the transformative power of group fitness firsthand. She firmly believes that exercising together not only improves physical health, but also fosters a sense of community, motivation, and support. Her unwavering advocacy for group fitness has influenced countless individuals to embrace a healthier lifestyle and discover their true potential. So fasten your seatbelts and enjoy. So welcome, Joanne, to this podcast for the love of group fitness. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time out.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, actually.
Yeah, we're going to have just a little bit of a chit chat about group fitness and your role and how, you know, or where group fitness plays a part in where you are today. So now for our listeners who are listening in, you are now head of education at Faster Health and Fitness. But your background is in acting.
It is indeed, yes.
So tell us then about, was acting something you always wanted to do as a child? And then you kind of, how did you end up in the fitness industry?
Yes. So acting was always what I wanted to do. So my parents would get in from a night out and say, oh, Joe, do one of those acting pieces for us. And I'd love that, being on the stage, and would never get off the stage, really. But then I went off to drama school. And at that age, I was already starting to go into the gym because I wanted to stay fit. I wanted to dance, all of those things. Went through drama school, and the reality was I needed to get paid and I needed to be able to rock up at auditions. So I thought I would join a gym, and then I thought, no, I can't afford to join a gym, so I'll become a receptionist. So I literally kind of went, right, OK, I'll start in reception. And at that point, I just thought, I want to do what they're doing upstairs because that looks like fun. So I got enrolled on my first exercise to music course and I just loved it. And I think coming from the acting background, the whole performance thing, but also you're in front of so many people that you can connect with and you can start to see them enjoying movement for perhaps the first time in their lives sometimes. Mm. But, you know, and that to me was just like, I loved it and it fitted in so well. So I gave up being a receptionist. I stayed as group exercise and I kept that going. It was a really good thing to have in my bank while I was an actress. I could do that in between auditions. But when I fell pregnant, it just seemed to fit so much more. And so I decided to make the shift. And I became a personal trainer as well. So we're going back, you know, 29 years. So we had Slide in those days.
Yes, we did. Shower caps on your feet.
Yes. Every time I go into the swimming pool, I get that, you know, callback moment. I used to wear those on my feet. And of course, the core boards, all of those sorts of things. We had all of those in the studio, which became an amazing tool when I was switched over to personal training as well. But so that's how I got into it. And I still, you know, I love the acting world, but I'm so glad of where I am. And now I feel like I'm in my sweet spot because now presenting and educating, I use all the skills that I was really taught at drama school. You know, when I started doing the Les Mills programs, I started Body Pump 25. So I don't know about you, but I can always remember the choreography of those.
I really can't. I don't retain choreography at all.
Oh, I love that one. Yes. And Wonderwall and all of that was in that.
Yes.
But it's interesting because a few people back then said, oh, well, why do you do those Les Mills programs? Because, you know, they're all the same. And I'm like, do you know what? Do you know how many Shakespeare performances I've seen of Romeo and Juliet? And let me tell you, they are not all the same. There are some Romeo and Juliet that I walked out of, you know, and so it is actually the trainer that brings it to life, the actor. Yeah.
It is. Well, I remember actually you just saying that, that when I first started with Les Mills as a trainer and someone came along to a one of the yoga introductory yoga courses that I did, and during one of the breaks said to me, Ansie, you've got a brain. Why are you teaching Les Mills? You know, and I was like, and my response, my automatic response at the time was because I have a brain. That's why I am. You know, but like you're saying, it's not, isn't it? It's down to you to bring you to whatever program it is that you're teaching.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I do remember those early days before Les Mills came out. And I remember my first audition as well in Group X. Mm-hmm. I made the fatal mistake. So top tip, if anybody's listening to this, if you're just getting into the fitness world, don't wear grey leggings. If anything else, don't wear grey leggings. Yes, through nerves, I was a little bit sweaty and I did look like I'd wet myself. So I never forget, I was at West Side in Kensington in the days of the Gladiators and the Chippendales. Yeah, they were all training and that was my sort of baptist of fire. Yes.
Oh, it's fascinating. Talking about the acting world, I remember attending the very, very first Les Mills Summit for Trainers in, I don't know if it was just Europe, but it was a global one at the time. And it was at a Club Med in France, in Opio. And the trainers or the speakers that came over to train the trainers.
Yep.
Two of them were from Sydney Drama School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were performance coaches at the Sydney Drama School. And can you imagine, this is going back way back when, right? In the year 2000, all of us were like fitness instructors sitting there going, what is this all about? They were showing us clips from Lion King and stuff, you know, the Simba, look in the your reflection, you know? And it was really personal development.
Yep.
But way back then, it was this, you know, something that you just didn't put together with group fitness or the fitness industry at all.
Yeah. Well, I think with every industry, if you want to grow, one of my big tips is to look outside of your industry of what they're doing really, really well and steal like an artist. Put credit where it's due, obviously. I don't mean plagiarism. Yeah. But I think that's a great way of doing it. I've done a lot of improv and a lot of stand-up comedy. I'm not funny, but I've done a lot of stand-up comedy. And I just think, what's the worst that can happen? People laugh at me rather than with me. But then it's never quite as intimidating as, you know, standing up and presenting or something like that, whatever it is.
Definitely. So you started off in group fitness and then you, when you're pregnant, et cetera, you went into personal training, you added personal training, you know, to your repertoire. What do you think group fitness, you know, has added to you as a personal trainer?
It's like, it's everything. It's everything sort of from the acting world, bringing it in. I was also a coordinator at what was Metropolitan, came Cannons and then Nuffield. Oh, yes. And so I was part of their academy for, we brought in the Les Mills programs when they first came to the UK and part of that. So even from there, I think when I transitioned into actual personal training, having one, that ability to connect with somebody already. You know, I didn't just have the anatomy knowledge or that ability to put sets and reps together. Mm-hmm. I had the magic juice, which was the ability to make someone feel the way they wanted to feel, both during that session and afterwards. Mm-hmm. So like that whole journey, because whether you like it or not, we're all in the entertainment industry, because the thing that brings people back is not how many reps, it's how you make them feel. And that's it. So it starts there. No one squat ever changed anybody's life, got world peace, but the thought of actually getting someone back. So yeah, I think it was really that, and being able to create a community from those people that I was training as well. I think we get that as a group exercise trainer. Mm. You know, we're very used to spotting the person in the back of the room. We're used to spotting the person that needs that little bit of extra help. And then even those skills, bringing it into your personal training, although you're one-to-one with that person, you might be more likely to create that community where they can speak, whether that's on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok.
Mm. Do you know, if I look back when I did my exercise to music, it literally was exercise to music, and you created your own, you know, choreography, et cetera. And it wasn't till I did Les Mills that I was open, you know, my eyes were open to this whole beyond the entertainment industry. You know, Philip Mills, I remember saying, we are in the exertainment industry for that reason, for the reasons that you've just said. But the basic exercise to music courses, we never learned about that. They never talked to us about connection or, you know, performance or anything like that. It was literally anatomy, physiology, safety, coaching. That was it.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a shame, because not everyone coming to group fitness are naturally entertainers or naturally that way. You know, they love the workout. You know, they're perhaps more technicians as opposed to entertainers, for, you know, want of a better phrase.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the people that I saw excel, and particularly as a studio coordinator, they did seem to have in the group X industry that natural presence in front of a room, you know, and very, very engaging. Mm-hmm. And I think that at first, you know, when everybody wanted to try and get personal trainers to take on group training, yes, to mm-hmm. drop the budget and all of those sorts of things, I was kind of in the middle of all of that. We had some amazing personal trainers that transitioned very well to group exercise, and given the right tools, you know, and just that ability to get out of their comfort zone in a safe space. And then you had the flip side of that, where you also had some personal trainers kind of looking down on group exercise, yes, as if you somehow haven't learned about anatomy, or you didn't know how to make movement specific for a client. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought, well, actually, I wanted to try and bridge that gap too, mm-hmm. to make sure that group exercise trainers did have that personal training knowledge, did have that ability to question research, bring it all together in that way.
Mm. Absolutely. I think there is, because Bob Asquari talks about the hybrid, right, in the sense of group fitness and personal training, you know, and then in the middle is obviously small group training. But I've been out of the training world for a long time in this sense. Are personal trainers these days, are they then taught the skills that perhaps group exercise instructors have, of connection and community and all of that?
Right. So that's a really great question. I mean, part of my job and what I want is to raise those standards.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to do that globally. So with FASTA, that's definitely something that is a real passion. And also working with IDEA, I'm on their committee for personal trainers. And just to raise that standard, because our level 2, level 3, and even our level 4, you know, is really focused towards having that ability to know our muscles, know our bones, know what exercises we want to hit, the energy systems we want, which will make someone, you know, feel either that they can't walk downstairs 2 days later, or that you made them feel nice and didn't trigger off, you know, some past injury. So those things are all great, but are they taught to deliver in a way that's going to trigger an emotion, a feeling that's going to make someone, you know, go, like when you walk out the cinema and you go, oh, that was so good. And then the first thing you do is go, I've got to tell, yeah, you've got to go see that film. That's what we want to give people, both in our Group X and our personal training sessions. And no, that's not taught. It is at Faster. And we've worked really, really hard. John Hardy, who's the founder of Faster, mm-hmm. you know, I think he would be great as a red coat. He's so entertaining. And he's also a really good comedian. And so he's brought all of that into our education programs. So we've even taken a clowning course together. Because as I said, go from other industries and find different ways. Yeah. Honestly, I think that was the most out of my comfort zone I've ever been in a
clowning.
Oh my goodness. Because there you basically, as a clown, if it's going well, you should do less and just keep it going. And your sole goal is to entertain and make people laugh. But it's tough.
Very tough. I can imagine. But then that just highlights, I suppose, gaps really in both personal training and group fitness, right? Because perhaps historically it's an industry that may have attracted people who are more extroverted, who are more outgoing, when now, because fitness is perhaps more prolific than it used to be, it's attracting other people in. You know, like when I was lecturing at university in sports science, you're getting a lot of these sports science students who are really into the science, but there are not many jobs around. So they end up falling into the fitness industry because it's still something they're passionate about. But they just, you know, they're bookworms, they're massively introverted. And like you say, it's, you know, if we can create that experience and evoke emotion, that is what people get hooked on. That is what helps with adherence and behavior change. And it helps with referring.
Absolutely.
Trainer as well. Right. So there is this gap. And it's interesting that the industry is still perhaps a little bit behind with bringing those skills into training courses.
Because as well, it's like when we're personal training, every client is so unique. So before you even get anywhere near the program, you've got to get to know your client, what they like, what they don't like, the areas of the gym they like to be in, the types of music they like and don't like, smells they like and don't like. I train some of my clients out in the park, and unfortunately, I'm next to a dark kitchen. So I have to know, oh, 11:30 on a Wednesday's onions. And, you know, but just being aware of those subtleties, you know, the client that likes the barbell or the client that likes the gripper or the core momentum trainer, those sorts of things, they're all part of that very, very first experience. So everything, you know, we've got to think Apple, who's the person that walks through the door? Mm. What experience are you going to create from them right from that very beginning? And then, you know, assessment going into that programming, it's always about, how do I want that person to feel? And what's the emotion I want them to leave that session on? That's key, because how you start, it's important. The middle bit, it's yummy. Mm-hmm. But that last bit, that's like, you know, if you go and see Madness, who I went to see relatively recently, got no idea what the concert was like, but the last track was amazing. You know, da-da-da. And I'm like, I'm done. That's it. That to me was fantastic. So I told everybody how great it was, you know, and it's getting that magic in each and every single session that gets people to come back. I mean, I was reading an article the other day that I think we've got back now after COVID to pretty much what we were prior to COVID within the gyms. We certainly have, with the uptake of men, not quite on females yet. So unfortunately, the amount of females that have gone back to exercise is not as many as we had prior to the pandemic. Now, that's great, but it's not great in the fact that gyms really weren't reaching enough people anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and this is where I think that if we can raise the standards and the education that we have for our group exercise trainers and for our personal trainers, and start to really look at the research behind what we're doing and make it an environment that is inclusive. And what I would like to see is a overhaul of the language that we use, because a lot of the language that we seem to have fallen into from bodybuilding competitions or old school fitness. Actually, if you put it on a piece of paper and said, does this make me feel amazing about myself? Mm. Or does this make me feel like I'm limited? Or even worse, is it negative? What are we doing? Because if we make the gym feel a scary place, so scary that you can't actually move unless you have a personal trainer, or so scary that you can't move unless you're in a group exercise, we're already creating a fear and a barrier to movement. Mm. Where if we can break down those barriers, then they will meet a personal trainer, then they will meet a class. You know, how can we tap into what is somebody's compelling reason to move?
So what's this is making me think is that as a personal trainer, you have the time, haven't you, to with your conversations beforehand, you know, your screening, where you're gathering all this information, to perhaps as a personal trainer now find out more about the person, not just about their fitness goals or whatever it is, but to also find out more about their likes and dislikes and all the extra stuff that will add to the experience. Mm. A group exercise instructor doesn't have that opportunity necessarily. You know, like if they're teaching a club and they're teaching back-to-back classes, yeah, you know, the music and the movement together already creates an experience. But in order to make it a little bit more personalized, like a personal trainer could, they really don't have that opportunity, or do they?
Well, I think that's a great point. I love that. I think those that do it well really benefited in lockdown. You know, the group exercise trainer that has their following and they have them on Instagram as well. You know, so when the clubs were closed, they were able to continue and they were able to keep their community going. And that was a massive, massive part of lockdown. And although I had my clients and they all continued online, because I've already done a lot of online training before that happened, but I actually put daily group classes on, which I wasn't doing prior to that, just so that people had that community to come to. And, you know, I mean, it is a weird scenario. Everyone's on mute. And like you said, so it's like this, everybody, you know, used to love coming to the studio because you had little things like Doris didn't want Elaine to be standing right in front of her because that was her spot, or, you know, that was my step, all of those sorts of things. But yes, all of that, everyone's having that kinesthetic response. And I was quite lucky in Cannons, we used to have a little coffee area downstairs, so we would all congregate down there. Mm. You know, I think the group exercise trainers that made a big deal out of any occasion in their classes, they did create that community. And now we obviously have that ability to reach our clients on Instagram, on TikTok, mm, and let them follow us. So I think it is actually easier than it was in the past to get to know people. Although, on the flip side of that, something that you mentioned that I'd like to go back to, which is the back-to-back, mm-hmm, because that only does happen if you do allow yourself time to go and have a coffee afterwards, yeah, with people in the group. So I would say that anybody that is getting into group exercise, you know, make time for that, because it's so important. And you never know, if you are in a club right now, but you then want to set up your own business or your own little studio, you know, you're keeping your following as well. And obviously on a club front, that means that club owners need to work harder at maintaining that value and respect for their team and support that.
Mm. So I do, even though I've got my own yoga studio now, I still teach for a local club chain. And, you know, because you have the experience of teaching much larger numbers, you know, and it's different. And the people that come to a yoga studio is very different to a person that might come to my yoga class as part of a gym.
Yep, yep.
But they have just, since most of their classes, I think, they've kept at 45 minutes still.
Right, yeah.
So there is that gap. So even if you are teaching back to back,
yeah,
there is a 15-minute gap in between. So you've got the opportunity to chat to people after a class and before a class, whereas it used to be literally like in and out.
Yeah.
You know? And while some instructors complain because obviously they're not getting as much money. You know, they're getting paid for 45 minutes instead of an hour.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good thing. You know, yeah. Firstly, because it gives me time to go to the toilet if I need to. But then being able to actually meet and greet people.
Properly. Yes. I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, well, the pay is another topic, but obviously that is so valuable. And actually, it might be a cost cut at that particular time. But I think that going forward, it will make a difference, because if you can have your community, you can offer value to your class members, you know, you're the person that they'll come to.
Mm, definitely. I mean, I love it. Like, I'm doing maternity cover for someone at the moment, and it means I'm doing three classes back to back. So the 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes in between is actually a nice thing. And to be able to then connect, you know, especially a mid-morning crowd, they are a little bit older and they like to chat.
What are your three classes together?
So the yoga is mine.
Yep.
And then I'm doing maternity cover for Body Pump. So I had to, like, I'd not taught Body Pump for like 9 years until like...
Oh, amazing.
Until I come out of retirement almost to teach. And the other one is the legs, bums and core class, which is just a freestyle class. And that is mainly, I would say, 50% are 60, 70 plus.
Which is awesome.
And which is great. And then the other half, you know, the rest are probably, you know, women kind of, you know, in their 40s, et cetera, and a couple of younger ones, but not many at all. But I think it's such an inspiring class because, you know, especially the ones that are older, you know, it's lovely. They come up, their hair's all perfectly made up and they've got, you know, their lippy on and they look great. And, you know, I think, you know, they're healthy, you know, they're keeping functional, which is great as they get older.
Yeah. I used to do a Saturday morning. I used to call it the pump sandwich. It was a spin pump spin. Yeah, I love that. But more recently, my mum, you know, she always wanted to go to the gym and never had the time. She was always working. And after my dad died, I was sort of going, encouraging her to go along. And she found this step class. Well, I just love it because she said to me, Jo, you're going to have to teach me how to do step because I don't know what I'm doing. So I went along and it's a little country club in the Midlands. And the woman is fabulous. She's really, really lovely. I did the class. There is no queuing. There is no queuing. But she's got this group of women that absolutely adore her. And she might forget what her routine is, and she'll just reach, what are we doing next? You know? And I don't know if you've ever seen the Victoria Wood sketch where she goes, rocking horse, rocking horse. If you haven't seen that, then you have to Google that and have a little look on YouTube of Victoria Wood doing a step class.
Right.
Because that's exactly what it was like. So, you know, when you can't help yourself, you go into a class and before you know it, you're starting to do... I was like, stop it, you're not. So I came out and I said to mum, don't worry, the reason you don't know what you're doing is because... there isn't any chance of knowing what you're doing, but you're having a great time. And that's all that's important. And they have coffees after every single session. And mum would not miss that for the world. And, you know, after lockdown, that was the big thing she wanted to get straight back to. They'll go out for long lunches and, you know, it's brilliant. It's fantastic.
I absolutely agree. And I think sometimes, you know, certainly from the group fitness front, is people get too caught up with the choreography, you know, and the workout, when really we need to have an appreciation that, yes, whilst there are people there who are looking for that, you know, the beauty of group fitness is the group.
Yeah.
And the community, because do you know what? If you don't like working out with other people, you wouldn't be in a class.
Yeah,
you'd be on the treadmill or, you know, on the Smith machine by yourself. You wouldn't come into a group class setting.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that they decided to step into a room with other people means that that is a part. It might not be the most important part of exercise for them. But I think, you know, and instructors should be aware of that, that people are there for different reasons. And like you say, you know, the community side, the fun side is great. It's great for these people. And I know that some of these older women that are in this class have been doing these classes, have been members for years, and it's their social. They come to class and they're like, oh, you're doing the floor, we're going to the cafe now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they don't want to get on the floor, you know. They're just like toodle off with their bag and their coat, and they'll sit in the coffee shop, you know, in the club for just as long as they have done the class, right? The class is like 30 minutes and they're there for 30 minutes at least, if not more.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and that's where all the connection goes. And that's why I think, yes, absolutely, as trainers, get ourselves there. And, you know, it's something that reminded me as well, even with Les Mills, you know, their videos are fantastic. They've got their on demand. And so a lot of trainers were concerned that they couldn't live up to that as well. And, you know, one of the things I did say was, actually, if you do 3-1 instead of 2-2 or whatever, or you say the wrong, you know, go the wrong way, if you have that personality to go with it, own it. Like, don't, you know, because that's why they're there, because like you said, they're human, you know, and it shows that human connection with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you go and see a comedian that then suddenly starts to corpse, and you know they're corpsing, and there's nothing funnier than being there and they're trying not to laugh. You know, some of the best classes I remember was not about the routine so much or the exercise. I never forget us watching something a little bit naughty on TV the night before. It was a topic that was just like, I didn't know that thing existed in the world. And I wasn't the only one who watched this program. So we're there at a 7 a.m. class the next morning, and all the way through pump, we're going, I had no idea that that was even a thing.
I know. It's just making it real, right? And relatable. Yeah. And that's what people love. So on that front, what is the craziest thing you've ever done for group fitness?
Oh, I don't know if you've been going through my TikTok, but I recently did a class, get this, live from Heathrow Lounge. Yeah, on Zoom.
You taught the class?
I taught the class in the departure lounge right outside the Louis Vuitton handbag store. That was one of the craziest things, I think. That was great. I had over 20,000 people view the video as well. So that was kind of fun. Yeah, I did go and wash before I got onto my 12-hour flight. But I quite like doing little videos from really unusual places, just to sort of put a little bit of humor back into it. But other than that, I'm trying to think what's the sort of craziest thing. I used to love doing I did Cinderella. I was a pantomime, that was the word I was looking for, it had just gone, a pantomime every Christmas. And I used to do body pump, but what I'd do is I'd go through all the tracks to create the story within the music. Loved doing that. It was just so much fun.
Were you dressed up as well?
Oh, yeah, full-on fancy dress. There's nothing like doing a class in fancy dress.
Do you know, it just made me think, right? So when I was younger, my brother's 7 years older than me, and he used to like tell me, you know, instead of reading me Cinderella or Snow White or whatever, he would like recreate this story where, I don't know, you know, Cinderella is the bionic woman and the prince is $6 million man. You know, like he would kind of make it up. So with you saying like you could pick your tracks accordingly so that there is some sort of story, I'm thinking, wow, that would be really cool too.
One of the best ones, do you remember there was the track, Boom Boom, and Just One Look at You?
Yes.
I was blown apart.
Yeah.
Boom Boom. It was a squat track. And that was the moment where I thought, oh yes, she's got to meet the prince here. You know? Yeah, no, I love doing all of that. It was great fun. Just sort of brings something new to it, and you know.
So yeah. I think people sometimes they think, you know, I say to people, you know, it is just exercise to music.
Yeah.
You know, why do we make it, you know, so complicated?
Yeah.
Really. Just have fun with it.
I still enjoy doing an outdoor boot camp each week, and I have different themes that I do. Now you're saying, what's the craziest thing? I'm like, oh yeah, there was that one time as well. Again, I love a Christmas theme. We did a Christmas Home Alone, which was fabulous. You know, I had people running for the aeroplane because they were going to miss the plane, and then putting their bags up and all of that sort of stuff. And amazing. Then I had, you know, those little pods, you can get them to record something. Yeah. So they all had these different pods that they could press, but one of them just went, Kevin! And Die Hard was really good because I had sort of crawling on the floor and, you know, tumbling over each other and that sort of stuff.
Amazing, so, amazing. Yeah. The listeners are getting, you're getting some ideas of what you can do.
So yes, steal films, basically. So basically what you get, Joe actually steals everything. No, I get inspired from different places, yes.
And take inspiration, right? And credit where credit is due.
exactly. Yeah. I think spin as well was great for that type of thing. You know, I like doing a reindeer ride at Christmas as well. And I liken that to being a professional football player, because obviously all reindeers and football players, when it's off season, they're in Dubai or Ibiza at a party and they're a little bit out of shape, you know, and then they have to come back to the UK and go to the Priory to make sure that they're off anything that they shouldn't have been doing. And then they get fit, and then we see them get fitter throughout the class. And then they have their performance challenging night on Christmas Eve.
Amazing. You're wasting, you know what you should, you can create these lesson plans for people. Storytelling in class.
Oh dear. Yeah, I think we've covered the crazy now, maybe. Yeah.
So you obviously spend most of your time now with Faster Fitness, as health and fitness, with the, you know, the personal training. I associate that with the personal training world.
Yep.
And I know you're really hot on, you know, research and reading up research papers and kind of bringing, summarizing it, for want of a better phrase, for the personal trainers. What I tend to see with group fitness is that, you know, when people are looking at research papers, etc., they tend to go into specialisms like exercise for Parkinson's, exercise for Alzheimer's, etc. Is it the same with personal training, or is personal training research more applied to the bulk of their clients rather than specialist clientele?
I think that's a great question. And it's interesting because you and I have sort of flipped. You came from the sports science and I came from the acting. And then, you know, one day my husband said to me, who is this person next to me? You've become a geek. And so what I do really is I help trainers to be able to look at the research themselves, so they've got the tools. I don't want them to come through my training and go, oh, I'm going to do it the faster way or the Joanne Groves way. I want them to go, I've read hundreds of studies on this, and from the balance of the quality research that I've read, that leads me to knowing that I need to do these certain things with my client. And then they need to meet their client where they are. And so with all of those things, clients will have hurdles like they will in a group exercise class. And when I mean hurdles, you know, you may have a client that has diabetes, or you may have a client that's suffering with symptoms from menopause, or you may have a client that's looking to lose weight. And I would consider those to be their hurdles. And so we use that research process to make sure that we're doing the very, very best of what we can. It also means that we don't fall into the trap that I fell into many, many times. Because when you've been in the industry 30 years, if there are things to do wrong, I've done them. And I've got emotionally attached to lots of different methods and techniques, to realize that actually what those methods and techniques were doing were robbing my client of, one, their goal and their self-efficacy. And it's hard, because if you've invested in something and you're really passionate about it, it's a double whammy if you think or find out that it's questionable whether that's the thing that's ever doing it. And if you have ever been through that journey, I think the great thing to do is to take a step back and go, actually, you're such a massive part of your client's journey, and you're giving them the tools. So what you want to do is make sure they're always the hero, and they know that it wasn't the doobery-doobery that they rolled on their leg that made them better. It was the fact that they came in and they took the steps and they started to move. And you just give them the tools to be that hero of their journey. And then you as the trainer get to be the guru. You're giving them the tools to go and do that, but you're not relying on a technique or a method. And so the only way to get there is to look at those questions on the research. So in answer to your question, it is absolutely specific to the client. So the clever people, the PhDs, they come up with these ideas. They go and get them tested. And hopefully somebody thinks it's a really great idea and they get some more money and they get it retested. And that would be, you know, a different area. But we get to, as trainers, look at that research. We get to, you know, quickly go through, if you still want a life, that is, quickly go through and was this done on people for a start? Was this done on hundreds of people? Was the author relevant? Was this study done recently or was it, you know, more than 10 years ago? All of these things will start to very, very quickly give you an idea of how good that piece of research is. I can't tell you how much research has been done on pelvic floors. It's actually been done on guinea pigs.
Yeah.
So, I'd prefer it to be done actually on females when we're, you know, delivering information with regards to that. But it's not as hard as I once thought. You know, I really did think, when I say that, it's time consuming. And so it does take dedication and it takes the support of a community because we're all full of biases. And I want exercise to be the answer to everything. But you know what? If someone's just broken their back, exercise is probably not the best thing for them to be doing. And when I say probably, it's not, you know, and so it's always within context. And so, you know, sometimes moving is the best thing we can do to change the experience of menopause. But for some people, it isn't. And they have to be kind to themselves. So it is absolutely important that it's relevant to that unique person.
So I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, we seem to lose sight and we tend to want to put people in boxes, right? And that was, you know, the issue I had when I was lecturing is like people don't fit in boxes. And that's how I ended up training in the yoga approach that I trained in, because it was about getting the yoga to fit the individual, not getting the individual to fit into the yoga. What are your thoughts if we're talking about research, if we're talking about training with the industry? We have qualifications, whether it's personal training or group fitness, and there are different levels within that training. At what point are we stepping outside the box into a realm that perhaps we're not really truly qualified in? So if my bugbear, for example, is nutrition. If that people are trained in fitness and, you know, physiology, etc., they might not, you know, have the depth of knowledge with regards to nutrition, and that is a whole different field. And yet you find a lot of instructors and trainers who are not just offering advice on nutrition, but actually doing plans and, you know, getting into a lot of depth. So what are your thoughts and feelings about that? Or counseling, you know?
Yes, no. So, I mean, number one, I think it's very hard for a trainer, group exercise trainer. You know, there are a lot of us in the industry, and many personal trainers, they leave the industry within 6 months. You know, it is a hard profession. So if you've been in it longer than that, well done you for a start. And with that, I think comes fear. And with the fear, they think, oh, you know, Dave down the road offers nutrition, or Elaine down the road's doing this funky thing with her hands, you know, or whatever it is. And this is the temptation of want to go for the next shiny thing. Whereas my big advice is to say, if you get good at creating an incredible experience, that's where your value is. You know, I have a massive bugbear with going out of your scope of practice. You know, number one, if a client has any form of unexplained pain, please go and see a doctor. That's not negotiable. Now, yes, could we get that person to change the way they're experiencing pain? Absolutely. Is that a clever idea? No. And it's not because we can't see disease. They need to go and check. Now, once they've gone and they, now I know, oh, it's an ACL injury or, you know, whatever it is, or it's nothing, it's unexplained pain. Well, now we're in chronic pain. So now we can go to the research. So everything should be in line. Nutrition, 100% agree. Whether it's just because I'm lazy, but I'm like, oh no, you're going to see a dietitian. Thank you very much. And also that's brilliant because, you know, as personal trainers, we do get a lot of information from our clients. And we might sort of suspect that someone might be having mental health issues. We don't take those on because although it seems like we're looking after our client by doing that, we're kind of being pulled into that fixing trap. And actually, they're not broken. But if we bring in the person who's qualified in that area, they get the support they need. And then guess what? When they come to you, they don't have to be someone who's depressed. They don't have to be someone who has cancer or someone who is, you know, suffering from menopause. They get to be them in that session. And that's such a gift. But I think if we can sort of, you know, look at it differently, that we are so privileged to do that. And, you know, even back care courses, they annoy me because if you know anything about pain and if you've gone anywhere near the British Pain Society, you will know that experiencing pain is so multifactorial. And you can have pain when there is damage and you can have pain when there is no damage present at all. And so, you know, what are we going to have? A left shoulder injury course, a right toenail, you know, it's like we've got to understand the whole thing and refer out. Stay within your scope of practice. And then that's when we look to the research. So I think that we need to update our level twos, our level threes, our level four. And we need to be more open and transparent as an industry of things that we've got wrong.
I agree with you. And the, you know, what you're saying about staying within your own scope of practice, if anything, you know, I think work with other people, right? So develop good relationships with the local physio, with the, you know, local psychotherapist or whatever it is, you know, dietitian, big nutritionist, because, you know, you all then support each other. Then you're able to support your collective clientele as a team, as opposed to just one person. But it comes down, I think, to what you've just said, is that we feel, a lot of us feel like we want to help and fix people.
Yep. And we're not broken. So our clients are not broken. You know,
it's just because they care so much, right?
Absolutely. And it totally comes from a really good place. And it also comes from that place, as I said, of comparing yourself to somebody else, which is the thief of joy, I think someone said, you know, and yeah, so be confident that the product that you're offering is so valuable to someone. And like you said, you know, use the team of people around you, the physio, the doctor, you know, a pelvic care specialist. Use those people around you.
Definitely. So at the time of this interview, I know you're all about, you know, growth and learning and everything else. What are you personally focusing on working on yourself right now?
On myself? That's a good question. Well, for me, I'm doing a lot more presenting. So I want to improve the way I get my message across to make sure that, you know, research is appealing to everybody, because I don't want it to go, you know, like that, because I do feel that that's a big part of it. I've been working on my own improv myself to make sure that I'm a little bit sharper on those cues. So loving that. And I've just taken up climbing. I've got the gear and no idea.
You're starting on a wall?
Really? Starting on a wall. Yeah. So I've got, you know, the teeny tiny shoes that make you feel like your feet are crammed in. But yeah, I love that because it's just movement puzzles. You're just trying to work out where to put your foot, where to go next, and that sort of thing. And I came back from LA recently and I'm obsessed with, they have these swinging rings on the beach, the traveling rings they're called, and I love them. And talk about community there and inspiration to get people moving. I love that place. You can rock up, you can be a 12-year-old that's never swung, you can be a 72-year-old, rock up there, line up, and everybody that's there will just help you. And they'll just go, oh, you've just got to like move your hips this way and swing. And, you know, it's just such a supportive community. So I love that. So that's what I'm working on myself.
Amazing. Amazing. So thank you for being here. I can keep talking to you for ages. What would your key message be for people who are listening in?
My key message would be that what you do is of value. Mm-hmm. And keep working on your product. And surround yourself by a really great community. You know, get yourself a mentor. And like we said with our clients, when you might want to refer them out to people, you know, have different mentors in your stream that you can go and speak to and build your community. Because if we join forces with other people, then we can help each other. And then you've always got that around. So join forces and get your inspiration from everywhere, friends and that team.
Absolutely. What's one word that sums up group fitness for you?
Fun.
Fun. Yeah, it certainly is. So thank you very much, Joanne, for joining me. And listeners, Joanne's links are all in the description below. So do reach out to her. She's, you know, very inspirational to follow. She's also got a Facebook group called Female Fitness Trainers, you know, which has huge amounts of value. There's a large community in there. So if you are on Facebook, then, you know, look for it. The link will also be in the description below. And yeah, thank you.
I was just going to say very quickly, yes. One thing I forgot, and it's group fitness, was I do a unique group fitness class on TikTok every morning at 8:30 with what looks like a shaky maraca that most people have never ever seen before. So it's the best kept secret. So if you want to come and hang out and see, it's great fun.
I do remember you
called
telling
a core
me about
momentum
that.
Trainer.
Yes, I do remember you telling me about this as well. Yeah, so Joanne's TikTok link will also be below. Everything, all the details will be in the description. So definitely do give her a follow. I need to get my head around TikTok still, but there you go.
We can chat afterwards. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to your listeners.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of For the Love of Group Fitness podcast, where we had the privilege of learning from the incredible Joanne Groves. Here are my key takeaways from our enlightening conversation. Steal like an artist and put credit where it's due. Joanne emphasized the importance of seeking inspiration from others in the industry. By learning from their successes and acknowledging their contributions, we can enhance our own creativity and innovation while maintaining respect for those who paved the way. We're in the entertainment industry. What brings people back is how you make them feel. Joanne reminded us that group fitness is not just about exercise, but also about creating an unforgettable experience for participants. It's the emotional connection and positive atmosphere that keeps people coming back for more. By focusing on making individuals feel empowered, motivated, and valued, we can build long-lasting relationships and loyalty. Create a community. Joanne highlighted the significance of building a supportive and inclusive community within the realm of group fitness. By fostering connections and nurturing a sense of belonging, we can create an environment where individuals feel safe to challenge themselves, grow, and thrive together. Don't try to fix people and stay within your own scope of practice. Right, it's important to recognize our limitations as fitness professionals, and it's essential to understand that we are not therapists or medical practitioners. Instead of attempting to fix people's underlying issues, we should focus on providing guidance, encouragement, and expertise within our defined scope of practice. Throughout the episode, Joanne reiterated the immense value of the work we do as fitness professionals. By helping individuals prioritize their physical and mental well-being, we have the power to transform lives and make lasting impact. Recognizing the significance of our contributions can fuel our passion and drive to continue making a difference. With these powerful takeaways, we are inspired to approach our roles in the fitness industry with renewed enthusiasm, creativity, and compassion. So let's steal inspiration, create unforgettable experiences, foster communities, stay within our scope of practice, and remember the immeasurable value of what we do. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of this podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope this encourages and inspires you. And more importantly, I hope you know how much I truly appreciate you for listening. So remember to subscribe, leave us a review, and join us for the next episode where we'll continue to explore the incredible world of group fitness. Until then, stay motivated, stay inspired, and stay curious.